It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Show me the money.
People in Washington, they're feeling spendy.
That is our top story at noon. President Biden is feeling spendy. He took the wraps off a $2.3 trillion plan to rebuild infrastructure and the U.S. economy.
We can do this. We have to do this. We will do this. There's nothing beyond our capacity if we act together.
The president in Pittsburgh Wednesday to unveil the American Jobs Plan, he says will revitalize the economy. Republicans say it'll kill it.
I was shocked by how much doesn't go into infrastructure. It goes into research and development. It goes into housing and pipes and different initiatives, green energy. And it really is not an honest conversation we're having about what this proposal is.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem says just 25% of the president's plan actually goes to infrastructure. She says the rest, a liberal wish list.
Every single family will pay the price for what Joe Biden's agenda is. He will drive up the cost of the food and their grocery bill. He will drive up the cost of their utilities, their gas prices, the cost of their cars, the clothes they dress their children in. Their budgets will be tighter because they'll be earning less, and it'll be directly because of these policies and these tax increases that Joe Biden is embracing and pushing through Congress.
Under the Biden plan, money would be pumped into programs like renewable energy and fighting climate change. Former South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy says the massive spending package has less to do with propping up the economy and more to do with promoting an agenda.
I've never heard phrases like human infrastructure or social infrastructure. It was always roads and bridges and ports and airports and pipes. If this were just about infrastructure, I think it'd get done. But it's about a lot more than that.
Now the president plans to pay for the biggest infrastructure package in 50 years by raising the corporate tax rate to 28%. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she's pushing to get the deal done by the 4th of July. Now to the southern border, where shocking footage shows human smugglers throwing a 5-year-old girl and her 3-year-old sister over a 14-foot-high fence in New Mexico. Border Patrol agents able to see the crime as it unfolded and rescued the two children.
We have to secure the border. If something's not done, this problem's only going to get worse.
Kentucky Republican Congressman James Comer says the shocking footage of children being thrown over a fence comes just a day after a 6-month-old baby was rescued in the Rio Grande River.
We're going to see an uptick in human smuggling, drug smuggling. I just can't, for the life of me, imagine an administration paying so little attention to it that they haven't even been down there to at least make the case that they have an interest in it. And I think it's much worse than our worst fears.
Officials now say they're holding over 18,000 unaccompanied minors at detention centers all along the southern border. A Southern California city has been rocked by the worst mass shooting in more than 20 years. A child and 3 adults killed last night in Orange, California.
All of a sudden I heard about 5 to 7 gunshots go off.
Police say a gunman was still firing when they arrived at a 2-story office building last night near L.A.
Police say a gunman fired a number of shots, killing 4 people, including a child, and injuring a 5th victim, a woman who was in critical condition. Police shot the gunman. He survived and is now in the hospital, also in critical condition.
Reporter Stacy Butler on the scene today in Orange, California. Pfizer says trial results show its COVID-19 vaccine is effective against the South Africa variant of the virus. The drug maker says the new data likely enough for the vaccine to meet FDA criteria for full approval. President Biden says he supports moving Major League Baseball's All-Star game out of Atlanta because of Georgia's new voting law.
I would strongly support them doing that. People look to them, their leader.
The new voting rules in Georgia that were passed last week require photo ID for mail-in votes, and it limits the number of ballot drop boxes. Critics say it suppresses the vote in Georgia. Supporters say it protects it. Well, it's the sound we've all been waiting for. right, opening day in Major League Baseball. All 30 teams stepping up to the plate for the start of the big league baseball season after a year of COVID-19.
Super excited. We're season ticket holders. We're like a huge baseball family. We're ready to get out and have fun, and even if that means we have to wear masks, so be it. Whatever.
I'm excited just to be back at a baseball game and having a little bit of normalcy.
Baseball parks all across the country allowing fans back into the stands. In Boston, it's 12% capacity at Fenway. And in Arlington, Texas, the Rangers opening their stadium at 100% capacity today. Baseball's back in America. Still to come this Thursday, cops in the crosshairs in Ithaca, parents in an uproar in Buffalo, and talking infrastructure in Pittsburgh.
Well, good afternoon to all, though it's looking and feeling a bit like winter around our area today. Your Easter weekend turns milder. Forecast details are coming up. We'll see you in 10.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate that. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and PA. Thursday, April 1st. Getting rid of police in Ithaca, New York. Last night, lawmakers voted unanimously to replace the city's police department with a new Department of Public Safety.
I do want to send a clear message to the public that change is necessary, and the time for change is now.
Councilwoman Laura Lewis says the plan would replace armed police officers with unarmed community safety officers who would respond to nonviolent calls. Mayor Savante Myrick calls it a bold start to change policing in Ithaca, New York.
To create an entirely new superstructure that we can use to attack the problems of systemic bias in the criminal justice system.
It's only a first step, but it's a pretty big one.
Councilman Duxson Nguyen says the reform plan is needed to change the culture and the accountability within the police department in Ithaca. Police Chief Dennis Nair calls it a knee-jerk reaction that'll leave the city less safe.
I did not expect anything so sweeping and changes and so radical. You know, we do a lot because there's no one else to do them, and we become the catch-all for everything that goes on.
Anthony Salfaro with the State Union of Police Associations says Ithaca has jeopardized public safety and demonized the men and women in blue.
To say that we feel betrayed and that we are angry is an understatement. The stress being experienced by our members and their families due to this recent news is immense and palpable.
Ithaca's police reform plan has garnered national attention and is in response to Governor Cuomo's order for communities across the state to come up with game plans to change policing. Those game plans are due today and are in response to the death of George Floyd last year in Minneapolis. The New York State budget, now officially late. The $190 billion spending plan was due at midnight last night. State leaders say they expect to get a deal done this weekend, perhaps early next week. You are free to move about the country. Starting today in New York, you don't have to quarantine after traveling domestically. The new rules were announced last month and took effect today. NFTA spokesperson Helen Teteris says the itch to travel has returned for many.
They seem to be more comfortable. We know that a lot more people are getting vaccinated, which is great. And I think the airlines have done a fantastic job with making people feel safe. That's the feedback that we're getting.
Teteris says they're seeing an uptick in traffic at the airport in Buffalo. And with a lot of high schools on spring break next week, officials are expecting a spike in travel in New York. By the middle of this month, every single adult in New York and PA who wants the COVID-19 vaccine will be able to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
April and May will be nothing like February and March.
That's Pennsylvania State Senator Art Haywood. He says the vaccine supply has now ramped up in the Commonwealth. Health Secretary Allison Beam says all adults in the Keystone State will be eligible for the shot by April 19th.
Pennsylvania is again adapting. The beginning this week through the next 2 weeks, Providers are reporting an increase in available appointments.
In New York State, anyone over the age of 16 can schedule their COVID-19 vaccine appointment starting next Tuesday. A hearing last night in Buffalo had parents echoing what's being felt all across the state. Get the kids back in the classroom. Family Life, Sarah Harnish.
Emotions were raw as parents spoke to school administrators.
I feel like I'm in jail. No sense of relief, no sense of support.
Maribel Irizarry watches her children and grandchildren, five kids, 8 hours a day while working a full-time job from her bedroom. It's been this way for 12 months.
All different schools. The kids are on the right Zooms, doing their homework, different lunch hours. I'm the lunch lady, the gym teacher. I become it all. And the amount of stress.
Parents lined up for a chance at the microphone last night to tell school officials something has to give now. Four school districts, Orchard Park, Williamsville, Clarence, and Grand Island, are being sued for the slow pace of their school reopenings. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Thank you, Sarah. The New York State School Boards Association says it's time to get kids back in the classroom 5 days a week.
I do think that there is definitely a will to open up full time, you know, back to normal in the fall. I'm noting that there are colleges and universities that are starting to announce that they're going to do that.
Spokesman Dave Albert says schools are some of the safest places to be right now. Andy Pallotta at New York State United Teachers says he wants them back full time, too, when it's safe.
That's the best place for teachers and students to be is in classrooms. We just say, let's make sure that it's the safest place to be. And that takes time and that takes money.
Teachers' unions all across the country have been the biggest roadblocks in getting schools fully reopened. New York State looking to spend over $4 billion over the next several years to help schools recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, if you think your taxes are high in New York, you are correct. In fact, they're the highest in the country. Wallet Hub says the Empire State number one when it comes to the tax burden. New York also has the highest individual income tax and the sixth highest property tax. When you add it all up, nearly 13% of what you make in New York goes to Uncle Sam. Hawaii and Vermont rounding out the top three highest taxed states, according to Wallet Hub. Governor Wolf joining President Biden in Pittsburgh yesterday to support that bold new infrastructure plan for America.
The Democratic governor said the American Jobs Plan proposed by the president focuses on many of the same priorities that he has been calling for throughout his administration. Wolf cited his previous Restore PA plan and current Back to Work Pennsylvania plan. The governor said as businesses recover and the workforce grows, they depend on a vast transportation network, including reliable broadband access. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. As trout season nears, officials say fishing license sales have spiked in New York and PA. The experts say the pandemic has forced more and more folks to take up outdoor activities like fishing. Sales of fishing licenses up nearly 9% from last year. Coffee consumption also up in these United States. The reason? You guessed it. The pandemic. The experts say the pandemic led to a record 8% increase in coffee consumption at home over the past year. I drink about a pot a day. So too does Sonny. He's next. Your 2 minute drill.
It's time to play ball in Major League Baseball. The opening day across the league with all 30 clubs on the diamond. The action starts in the Bronx. The Yankees hosting the Blue Jays. Aaron Boone can't wait.
One of the things I try to make sure to get across to our guys is what an honor and a privilege and it is to, you know, suit up on opening day in the major leagues.
Just under 1,100 fans will be allowed inside the stadium for the 105 start. Fans need to show proof of a negative COVID test or proof of being vaccinated before being allowed inside the stadium. President Joe Biden says the Texas Rangers' decision to allow a full crowd for opening day at Globe Life Field Monday is a big mistake. Globe Life Field, the only Major League Baseball stadium to open at 100% capacity with 40,300 seats available. Elsewhere, Cleveland plays at Detroit. The Pirates are at the Cubs. Phillies welcome Atlanta. The Mets get ready to open their season, locking up new shortstop Francisco Lindor long-term. The four-time All-Star has agreed to a 10-year, $341 million deal with the Mets. New York takes on a Nationals team today that has five players sitting out due to COVID. On the ice, the Sabres' 18-game losing streak is over. Brandon Montour scored shorthanded twice in the third. The Sabres took down the Flyers 6-1 in Buffalo.
Guys have been great. You know, guys have been positive through this, you know, tough time we're dealing with here. And, you know, tonight, you know, luckily, you know, we all played together and, you know, got the win. So, you know, it's, you know, good for everyone.
Elsewhere, the Maple Leafs over the Jets 3-1. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Rockets but lose James Harden to an injury. Kyrie Irving.
Anytime someone goes down, it's very concerning. Anytime someone doesn't play, you know, we definitely have to have that mentality that, you know, we're still going to play at a very high level. So just got to adjust, man.
The Knicks blow an 18-point lead and fall to the Timberwolves 102-101. Raptors lose to the Thunder. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, unwrapping that massive $2.3 trillion American jobs plan. Day four at the murder trial of Derek Chauvin. And play ball, opening day in big league baseball.
We often hear today that standing for truth will alienate people from the gospel. Today, Maundy Thursday, of all days, reminds us we need not choose between truth and love. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Jesus would have baked the cake. Christians hate LGBTQ people. You're on the wrong side of history. Why can't you just let them be their true selves? That's just your truth, not mine. Or perhaps most painful, especially when it comes from a friend or a family member. If you love me, you'd accept me for who I really am. Look, all these slogans leave Christians silent or shamed today. But at root, they're just different ways of saying the same thing. That truth and love are incompatible. To tell the truth, especially when it comes to issues of sexuality and gender, is to be unloving and intolerant. And to love someone is to always affirm their choices. And there's a uniquely Christian version of these slogans, too. Taking a moral stand, we're told, especially on questions so culturally controversial, will distract from the gospel. The church needs to be more welcoming and avoid anything that makes people feel excluded from the church. After all, we're told, isn't the gospel really about inclusivity? Well, today, of all the days of Holy Week, directly confronts this mentality. Maundy Thursday set aside on the church calendar to remember the Last Supper. At this first celebration of communion, Jesus gave his disciples a new command that they should love and serve each other. And to demonstrate what he meant by this, he picked up a basin of water and a towel and washed their feet. Now, to fully understand the words and actions of Jesus here, recall that at this Last Supper and first communion, Jesus and his disciples were actually obeying an original command from God given to all Jews to always remember Passover. For Jesus to issue a new command on this night was an audacious thing to do, especially given how heavily God's original command weighed in Israel's history and identity as a people. Jesus, however, went even further than just merely adding instructions to an old celebration. Now, rather than just remembering how the angel of death passed over those homes with lamb's blood on their doorpost, they were to remember him, his broken body, his shed blood. Though the volume has increased in recent years, the American church has been dividing over whether it should be primarily about proclaiming truth or serving others since at least the early and mid-20th century. The Lord's Supper and Jesus' new command reminds us that this is a false dichotomy. These two things, truth and love, need never be separated. On the same night, Jesus commanded us to remember how his broken body and shed blood rescues us from sin. That's truth. He commanded us to demonstrate our new life by serving others. That's love. We need not choose between truth and love because they are both grounded in the same source, or more specifically, the same person. How to speak truth and love both inside and outside of the church is a new short course that begins next Tuesday. This course will examine how, in very practical terms, we can communicate truth to four groups of people. Unbelievers who need to know Jesus, Christians
Christians who don't know what or how to think, Gen Zers who don't know how or who to trust, and progressive Christians who have abandoned the truth. You can come to Breakpoint.org to register. This course will run four consecutive Tuesday nights beginning next week, April the 6th. All sessions are recorded and made available to all registered guests. Jesus embodied truth and love, not only in the event we commemorate today, but in every event we remember this Holy Week. He is truth, He is love, and He is risen indeed. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
Little taste of winter out there today, this April Fool's Day. No joking, here's Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A storm system brought a light coating of snow last night, and a little more than that in some of the higher elevations of south central New York. That's moving away now, but a flow of cold, moist air off the Great Lakes generating flurries and some snow showers. This will all fade, and as we head into the weekend, a milder airflow will take hold. And that is good news for those with Easter plans for a little bit of sunshine and only a small chance of a shower. The call for this afternoon, mostly cloudy, blustering cold, snow flurries scattered about, even heavier snow shower places. Temperatures holding nearly steady. Patchy clouds and cold tonight, a few lake flurries, low temperatures, upper teens and mid-20s. Tomorrow will be cold day with a morning flurry, then some sunshine in the 30s. Saturday, milder sunshine and increasing clouds approaching 50, maybe a shower Saturday night. Easter Sunday, morning cloud cover, little drizzle, then partly sunny, high temperatures breaking 50 Sunday afternoon.
All right, Kevin Williams getting it done at the Weather Center this afternoon. We appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, April 1st. The White House will get to work on that $2.3 trillion infrastructure and economic plan that was unveiled by the president yesterday.
They're going to roll their sleeves up at the White House in the East Room, but not for COVID shots. They're going to start selling President Biden's whopping $2.3 trillion infrastructure plan that the president rolled out in Pittsburgh yesterday.
That's Fox News reporter Griff Jenkins. Critics say the plan, nothing more than a far-left spending spree.
This is a bold neo-socialist experiment. This will be over $4 trillion of spending in less than 100 days.
Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy.
By spending this massive amount of taxpayer money, it's clear that to me that the Biden administration is moving more toward the Chinese model of capitalism, where the biggest player in the economy is government. It's no longer the private sector.
Kennedy says calling the Biden economic plan and infrastructure plan is misleading because 75% of that plan goes to something other than infrastructure. Police in Southern California say at least four people shot and killed last night near L.A. The dead includes a child.
I can tell you Orange is a very safe city, and we don't have stuff like this that happens very often.
Another person hurt in the shooting, the suspect in the hospital, too, after he was shot.
All of a sudden, I heard about 5 to 7 gunshots go off.
The shooting taking place at a two-story office building in Orange, California, just south of Los Angeles. Day four at the murder trial of former Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin. Jurors back in court after 3 days of listening to bystanders who saw George Floyd take his last breath under Chauvin's knee that was placed on his neck for over 9 minutes last May. In Indiana, Health Commissioner Dr. Christina Box warning about a spike in COVID-19 infections.
We cannot throw caution to the wind and behave as if the pandemic is over. We want the pendulum to swing back in a positive direction.
Governor Eric Holcomb says he'll be lifting mask mandates in the Hoosier state next Tuesday. The pause button has been hit on the nation's third COVID-19 vaccine. Shipments of the Johnson & Johnson shot being delayed while the FDA investigates a mistake at a Baltimore plant. Workers mixed up dosages with another vaccine made there, and it ruined about 15 million doses. Play ball. Opening day of Big League Baseball.
The biggest difference between this season and last season will be the fans. Every game will have some fans, although the number of fans depends on where the game's being played. Now, last year, the season was shortened to just 60 games. This year, Major League Baseball hopes to have every team compete in all 162 scheduled games.
Good to have them back. Steve Futterman reporting. A new study says New York City's Central Park has been featured in more movies than any other location on planet Earth. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Analyst with Net Credit put the list together saying Central Park has had more than 500 film credits dating back to 1900. Some well-known scenes include Will Ferrell's snowball fight in Elf and Macaulay Culkin causing trouble in Home Alone 2. L.A.'s Bronson Canyon is listed second on the most filmed list. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. 25 minutes past the hour. You're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Kate Anderson, Senior Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. If you can just update us, Colorado cake baker Jack Phillips has been back in court again. Would you tell us about this latest suit, Kate?
Well, no one should be forced to create speech that violates their core convictions. They should have no one force them to do that. And that's what this case is about. On the day that the Supreme Court agreed to hear Jack Phillips' first case, Gardena, a transgender attorney from the Denver area, contacted Jack and requested a custom cake to celebrate Gardena's gender transition. Because of Jack's religious belief, Masterpiece declined that request, and that triggered a 3+ year legal case against Jack Phillips that culminated in a trial during the last week or so.
My understanding is that several requests from Autumn Scardina really sort of pushed the envelope beyond the gender reveal cake.
Yes, well, this case really represents a disturbing trend of individuals weaponizing the justice system to try to use it as an arm of cancel culture to come after individuals they don't agree with, and that's very much what happened here. Autumn Scardina called on the day that the Supreme Court had agreed to hear Jack's first case, asked for a cake to celebrate Scardina's gender transition, and then used that to come after Jack. Scardina had been pursuing Jack in the past, sending emails all the way back to 2012, calling Jack a hypocrite and a bigot. Gardena also offered to the commission to file an earlier complaint against Jack Phillips. And after this particular request, Gardena called Jack again and asked for a cake, which would be Satan smoking a joint, knowing full well that Jack Phillips could not create any of these cakes based on his religious beliefs. Gardena admitted at trial that Gardena was testing Jack and wanted to correct the errors of Jack Phillips' thinking.
So this case, this recent case, is this at the state level in Colorado?
Yes. So what happened was Gardena pursued this case initially through the Commission of Colorado, the Civil Rights Commission. Civil Rights Commission did pursue Jack for a while and then dropped that case sometime after the Supreme Court ruled in Jack's favor, upholding Jack's religious freedom to determine what cakes he can and cannot create. But then after that case was dismissed, Gardena sued Jack personally and sued Masterpiece Cake Shop, actually asking for over $100,000 over this cake request related to a gender transition.
Wow. So have the court appearances now wrapped up in Denver in this case?
The court proceedings are done for now. There will be some documents filed with the court, and we'll be awaiting a decision in the next few weeks to months.
Now, is ADF currently defending Jack Phillips? I saw something about another attorney, Sean Gates.
Absolutely. ADF is still defending Jack, was defending him at this trial. We also brought in an allied attorney who has worked with us in the past, Sean Gates, and he came alongside us to help defend Jack.
Great. Do you think the 2018 Supreme Court ruling will also apply to the refusal to make this gender transition cake?
It absolutely should. The state of Colorado has, through that decision, been told that they have a rule in place that says that if an artist like Jack gets a request to create a message that is offensive to that artist, the artist doesn't need to create it. And Colorado has applied that rule to other cake artists who were asked to make messages that offended them. So very much we're hopeful that the court will apply that rule here and uphold Jack's ability to live according to his religious beliefs and not have to create expression that violates his core convictions.
Jack Phillips has been standing up for his beliefs since 2012 in the court realm. How has this battle impacted Jack personally?
Certainly, Jack Phillips has been pursued for a long, long time. He really just wants to be able to create cakes with the freedom of every artist, and this persistence in weaponizing the justice system to come after him. He's received hateful comments, death threats, all kinds of things. And this idea of this cancel culture movement to try to stop somebody that someone just disagrees with is wrong. There's been a severe impact on Jack's business. It's been really hard for him. He used to have 10 full-time employees, and now he's down to just him and his daughter full-time. So the kind of impact these cases can have on people is severe. We live in a pluralistic society, and one would hope that we can agree to disagree and uphold everyone's freedom to create art according to their own beliefs.
Kate, thanks to you and your team for standing up for religious liberty. Where can folks learn more about this case and what ADF is doing?
People can follow this case and all of our cases at adflegal.org.
That's Kate Anderson with Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, guys. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A storm system brought a light coating of snow last night, and a little more than that in some of the higher elevations of south central New York. That's moving away now, but a flow of cold, moist air off the Great Lakes generating flurries and some snow showers. This will all fade, and as we head into the weekend, a milder airflow will take hold. And that is good news for those with Easter plans for a little bit of sunshine and only a small chance of a shower. The call for this afternoon, mostly cloudy, blustering cold, snow flurries scattered about, even heavier snow shower places. Temperatures holding nearly steady. Patchy clouds and cold tonight, a few lake flurries, low temperatures, upper teens and mid-20s. Tomorrow will be a cold day with a morning flurry, then some sunshine in the 30s. Saturday, milder sunshine and increasing clouds, approaching 50, maybe a shower Saturday night. Easter Sunday, morning cloud cover, little drizzle, then partly sunny. High temperatures breaking 50 Sunday afternoon.
Already, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, call it a sign of the times. All of those online orders because of the COVID-19 pandemic have led to a cardboard shortage across the country. Correspondent Lisa Mateo.
The Fiber Box Association says corrugated product producers churned out more than 400 billion square feet of everything from boxes to watermelon crates in 2020. The spike has prompted a rise in prices, with businesses feeling the hit. Experts say the surge in stay-at-home orders has been fueled by stimulus checks and a rise in remodeling from the pandemic housing boom.
I open up about 5 cardboard boxes a day at my house from all of those online orders. Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Mateo reporting. Before we leave you today, want to pass along this programming note. Tomorrow, in place of the Noon Report, we'll be airing our Good Friday special. I hope you can join us then. Until then, I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.